From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Claire Strimple with this update. Juneau School District Superintendent Bridget Weiss has announced her plan to resign at the end of the school year. She's been working in education for 39 years, but after weathering a pandemic and years of stagnant state education funding, Weiss says it felt like the right time to move on. The number of school administrators resigning across the U.S. has grown considerably since the pandemic began.
There's a reason why there is a lot of leadership turnover in the country. They're just, the last years have been intense. The work is real to work through a pandemic.
Weiss grew up in Juneau and graduated from Juneau Douglas High School. She left to go to college and began her teaching career in Washington State. She returned to Juneau 9 years ago to take a position as Director of Student Services after a stint as the principal of North Pole High School. The Juneau School Board voted unanimously to make her the superintendent in 2019. She was named Alaska Superintendent of the Year for 2022 and received recognition for her dedication to education and support for families and youth in and outside of schools. Weiss announced her decision in an email to district staff on Monday.
And I just really wanted to allow the district with plenty of time to work through their processes and try to do that as well as I could, you know, for the better of the district.
She will submit her letter of resignation to the Board of Education at its November 8th meeting. After that, the board will decide how to proceed with the process of searching for her replacement. Weiss says she's not certain what the future holds after next June, but she plans to remain here in Juneau. After a lukewarm reception, the Southeast Alaska Regional Subsistence Advisory Council voted unanimously to advance a proposal that would open federal subsistence hunts and fisheries to Ketchikan residents. The board's vote triggers a 2-year study of the proposal, which would officially designate Ketchikan as a rural community under federal subsistence regulations. The decision came after hours of public testimony advocating for the change. KRBD's Reagan Miller reports.
For decades, Ketchikan has been considered an urban area by the Federal Subsistence Board. Ketchikan's tribe has been pushing to change that. Tribal officials submitted a proposal to redesignate Ketchikan as a rural area in May. Trixie Bennett is the president of Ketchikan Indian Community. She told the board at a meeting in Ketchikan that the designation is one step toward fixing things that are out of balance in the community, particularly for Native residents.
I felt like I should come here and sing a mourning song because I feel like we're going to be in mourning until we have this balance in our community for our people.
Judy Leesk Guthrie has lived in both Ketchikan and Metlakatla. She says the ability to hunt on federal lands would keep her family from paying for pricey processed foods at the store and from having to travel far away for a hunt.
It might take a lot of work to be able to go out and harvest these things, and it might not cost any money. But it's a lot of work. It's sometimes a lot of days away from our families. But at the same time, it means that we don't have to go to Safeway and buy meat or fish.
Tony Gallegos is the Cultural Resources Director for Ketchikan's tribe. He voiced frustration that, with Ketchikan listed as non-rural, residents can't collect ooligan from the Unuk River. Ooligan is a subsistence staple. It's an oily fish commonly used as a source of fat.
What does ooligan taste like? We're losing that and that connection. So we're trying to open that up. But even though the fishery has been opened, we are not federally recognized subsistence users.
But the council wasn't immediately open to the idea. Councilmember Louis Wagner Jr. of Metlakatla voiced concern for how Prince of Wales Island would be affected by an influx of hunters.
This is really serious. It's going to put a huge impact on the villages and especially Prince of Wales.
Ingoon's Albert Howard agreed with Wagner. He said he was worried about the already struggling deer population on Prince of Wales Island.
We're just opening something that we may pay a price for later.
But Keenan Sanderson, the tribe's indigenous food expert, noted that even if Ketchikan hunters were allowed more area on the island, resident hunters would be prioritized first under federal law.
If federal managers think that sustained harvest pressure at the reduced number, they can and, in my opinion, should exclude people who are not from that area to harvest.
But after a parade of speakers delivered hours of passionate testimony in favor of opening federal subsistence hunts and fisheries to Ketchikan residents, the council unanimously voted to move the proposal forward. Councilmember John Smith of Juneau said he'd been convinced it was necessary.
And I hear that Ketchikan, just from testimony, that they need this healing. So I really believe this is really important.
Member Jim Slater of Pelican says it was the testimony that also changed his mind.
When I first read this in preparation for the meeting, I was somewhat conflicted on it, sharing the concerns of Louis that as we make more and more people rural, and you know, and the fact that everyone becomes rural, then no one's rural, essentially.
Councilmember Harvey Kitka of Sitka also supported the proposal.
This is just a small baby step, and it's going to take a long time for it to come about.
Brent Vickers from the Interior Department's Office of Subsistence Management told the council that the tribe's proposal met all requirements to be considered by the federal board.
And so the four threshold requirements are just those four questions. There's not a matrix. There's not a, it needs to contain six of these and three of these to meet this. Really, it just comes down to, was there information not considered?
Bigger questions, like discussions about what makes Ketchikan rural and why residents should have access to subsistence opportunities, will be handled at later meetings.
The full analysis takes 2 years, during which OSM will hold a public meeting here in Ketchikan where people, tribes, and organizations can comment on the rural character of Ketchikan.
The council wrapped its three-day meeting on Thursday. Rural designation proposals are considered in two-year cycles. Ketchikan is the only Southeast community seeking that designation this cycle. Moving the proposal forward is a big step, but changes won't start happening until at least 2025, when the federal board is slated to take up the issue. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Reagan Miller.
The policy differences on abortion rights between Alaska's three candidates for U.S. Senate were clear during a debate on Thursday. Incumbent Republican Lisa Murkowski, Republican Kelly Chewbacca, and Democrat Pat Chesbro appeared together for debate for the state. Chewbacca said she supports a national ban that takes effect, quote, sometime in the second trimester, end quote. Murkowski said she supports turning the abortion rights from the Roe v. Wade case, which the Supreme Court recently overturned, into law, but with some limits, such as letting medical providers with personal objections opt out. Chesbro says she's pro-choice.
I think it needs to be up to the discretion of the individual, not anyone else. I think it has to be a very difficult decision, and I think we need to let people make those decisions on their own.
Murkowski and Chesbro's interactions were collegial. Chewbacca and Murkowski were much cooler. Throughout the debate, Chewbacca only referred to Murkowski as, quote, the incumbent. Chewbacca painted Murkowski as ineffective, supportive of Biden-administrated initiatives she called extreme, and buoyed by interests outside of the state.
When I talk to Alaskans, we just don't want a senator who's fought and bullied by the D.C. establishment. We want someone who represents our Alaska independent voices.
Murkowski said her record shows her commitment to Alaska and that third-party political groups are beyond any candidate's control. She fired back at Chewbacca.
Frankly, she's been gone from the state for 28 years, and she's out of touch with Alaskans and what Alaskans expect and want. Alaskans want results. They don't want partisan political rhetoric.
Alaska Public Media, KTOO, and Alaska's news source produced the debate. Heavy rains and a glacial dam outburst caused water levels in the Mendenhall Lake and River to rise yesterday. It crested at just over 10 feet overnight. That's considered a moderate flood. Water levels have been dropping all day and might increase with the rain, but it's not expected to flood again. A storm system will roll in for the weekend with high wind and moderate to heavy rain across southeast Alaska. For Juneau tonight, rain showers and a low in the mid-30s. That rain could turn to snow, especially in the Mendenhall Valley. Tomorrow, rain or snow, but with little to no accumulation if that's the case. High around 40 with winds up to 20 miles per hour. The heaviest rain is expected tomorrow night, but Sunday will be rainy too, with a high right around 40 again. It's a little too early for a Halloween forecast, but right now it's looking like cloudy and cold with rain or snow likely. The low Monday night will dip below freezing. You're listening to KTOO.